when layoffs aren't quite as common.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Companies in July announced that 37,000 jobs will have to go. That's actually down more than 4% from the month before. The survey from the outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says the sector hit hardest is healthcare, although many defense-related industries are set to go. Who is hiring? Among others, Amazon, which is bringing in 5,000 new people. There's also news that the number of people signing up for unemployment benefits has hit a six-year low. The most complete statistical picture of all of this comes in about 23 hours. And for more on that, we will turn to Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, a big date on the economic calendar, 8:30 Eastern time tomorrow morning. The government's official employment and unemployment report comes out. What will you be looking for?
Well, in the overall report, I think we're going to be well north of 200,000, which is great. We love to generate jobs. And even the quality of those jobs should improve in the month of July because the automakers didn't have the usual shutdowns they did. So we're going to have manufacturing and construction employment, which have been absent in recent months.
So, Diane, that's the job creation report derived from a survey of payrolls that the government does. You think more than 200,000?
I think more than 200,000. And the good news is better composition. We haven't had that in a while, but it might be just a monthly phenomenon. The real dirt is always in the details, and that's in the unemployment rate. And, you know, whether or not we're actually generating more jobs for more people or more people are working more part-time jobs, we do know part-time employment has risen quite dramatically. We're also seeing out there many people in last month's survey had to accept lower hours and more part-time work.
Now, what about the economy would suggest to you that the quality of some of these jobs might be improving tomorrow?
Well, we do have this weird thing going on in July where manufacturing in the auto sector in particular, it's almost always closed. They actually take several weeks off to retool, and that is good news because it will show up as an increase, particularly in auto manufacturing, the cascading effect through the auto industry. We're also seeing some construction activity related to housing, which also means manufacturing activity related to housing. So those are good things. We saw them earlier in the year, and they just didn't seem to stick and gain some momentum. 1 month does not a trend make, but that may make at least this month look a little better in the composition of those payroll employment numbers.
All right. Diane Swonk, Mesirow Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Americans are still coming to grips with the startling revelations this summer that the National Security Agency is collecting vast amounts of their personal data and that big tech companies like Google and Facebook were turning it over, however reluctantly. That's put strain on the long-running relationship between the feds and the tech industry. Marketplace's Quina Kim is going to look at this relationship over the decades in the first of two reports today and tomorrow.
The history of Silicon Valley dates back to the 1930s. Back then, it was known as the Valley of the Heart's Delight, and agriculture was still its main business.
I'm no millionaire, but I'm not the type to care.
There were no venture capitalists to fund startups, no tech billionaires, but the nascent industry did have the Department of Defense. Michael Kenny is a professor at UC Davis. He says the military has been described as
the greatest venture capitalist of them all.
Kenny says a lot of the technology we have today was funded by the government. There's the internet.
Parts of cell phones, satellites, global positioning systems had their research origins in universities that were funded by the Department of Defense.
The history of Silicon Valley and the federal government goes back to World War II.
Steve Blank is a tech entrepreneur in Silicon Valley.
They were convinced that the best way to build weapons to win the war was to keep scientists as civilians, and the government would fund the universities.
Then the Cold War came.
In Korea, United Nations troops push on.
The DOD poured money into developing technologies at America's elite engineering schools.
By the mid-1960s, three-quarters of all the graduate theses in the engineering department were classified at Stanford.
Stanford wasn't the only university to receive military funding, but it was the only one to use that money to create Silicon Valley. In large part, that was due to Fred Terman, an engineering professor who became the university's provost. He told his students and professors to take their technology and start up companies.
No other university in the 1950s even thought that that was possible.
The problem? There wasn't a consumer market. But the military was buying. Steve Adams is a business historian at Salisbury University.
The semiconductor industry was a defense industry.
That gave birth to Fairchild, Intel, Advanced Micro Devices, and other companies that made the silicon chips that put Silicon Valley on the map. Today, that technology powers every computing device you have. But back then, silicon chips were used to make satellites that spied on our enemies. Steve Blank, the entrepreneur, says the government is still buying in Silicon Valley. Only today, that technology is also being used to keep track of us, the American consumer. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, we look at how this government tech tango is playing out here in 2013. And before we go, going to lunch at a restaurant takes away your edge when you get back to the office. A peer-reviewed study in the journal PLOS ONE finds that you're not as good with detailed tasks after a decent meal out. Yes, they controlled for heaviness of the food and scotch intake. So somehow drizzling bits of burrito into your keyboard at work helps with mental acuity is my takeaway on this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.